If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery. Late nights at work taking a toll on your skin? Do you find yourself staring at those dark circles in the mirror? Well, it's time to meet your new best friend, Dark Circle Defense Balm from Lumen. Lumen is a line of brilliant men's skincare solutions crafted especially for men who want to look and feel their brightest. Whether you're a seasoned skincare pro or a total newbie, Lumen Skin has got you covered. Lumen's Dark Circle Defense Balm is a lightweight gel that absorbs seamlessly into your skin to brighten your under eyes and instantly plump dehydration lines. It's basically an espresso shot for your eyes. The best part? Lumen will let listeners of this podcast try the product out for free. Yes, you heard that right. Free. Head to lumenskin.com/wondery and get your free trial of Dark Circle Defense and their other amazing products now. Say goodbye to tired-looking eyes and say hello to a new and refreshed you. Don't wait any longer. Your skin will thank you. That's lumenskin.com/wondery for your free trial.
Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Real Housewives of Atlanta Reunion Part 1.
It happened.
Absolutely insane.
And we have to talk about it.
The koi fish.
The koi fish.
Breakout stars.
We also want to talk about Vanderpump Rules, the third part of the Mexico trip.
And the Berserk Shears for Roni.
Real Housewives of New York. And then we're going to follow all that up with an interview with Tom Schwartz himself.
And of course, we're going to end with Rose and Thorne.
Let's get into it. So Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion. This is probably my favorite backstage pre-reunion interview with Andy ever. Where I feel like we got into the drama so quickly because of the Nene and Cynthia factor.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's crazy because the whole season wasn't really building up to the moment that we saw in the finale. So we weren't really kind of prepared to be going into a reunion where it was so much Cynthia and Nene being the ones who were fighting. So I think it was kind of like a little darker backstage than I think we kind of anticipated.
Right. I don't know. What were the big moments that stuck out to you?
I mean, throughout the whole episode, I think Eva even says it at one point during the reunion. She's kind of like, Nene, you're here. Like, you're like on right now. You're like raw, you know? And Nene's like, well, what are you talking about? But you can see it in Nene's face that she is just looking for any excuse to be angry, and she's ready to take it out on pretty much anyone on those couches.
Yeah, I felt like she wasn't really in a friendly mood with anyone. And, you know, she says at the beginning, because Andy's like, Nene, you're the glue for your wig and your family. And she goes, and this cast.
You are the glue for your wig and your family.
Yes.
How are
and
you
the glue
holding
to
it?
This cast as well.
Okay.
Are you, though? Because you seem disjointed from everyone.
Yeah. I think she's sort of unraveling in many ways. And I think it's a little bit of like as a part of the cast. And then just with everything she's been going through in her personal life, like it's really starting to show. And it was showing at the reunion.
What do you think about the fact that she really hasn't been there for Portia in terms of, like, she didn't go to the baby shower, hasn't really checked up on her since, even though they live near each other.
And hasn't even sent a gift.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird because I feel like, you know, she kept throwing back at Portia being like, you haven't been there for me. You haven't been coming to my events. You haven't been doing this and that. And granted, you know, like the crazy dinner at Nene's house, like Portia was like 3 hours late or something. You know, I feel like there are some excuses for Portia because she is pregnant and she, you know, has other things going on and responsibilities. But I think maybe at the end of the day, Nene felt just like hurt by maybe she doesn't feel like Portia's been as supportive of her as she could be. But it seemed like she was kind of, again, like positioning that anger maybe at the wrong person, you know? Mm. Like Portia was just kind of like, what are you talking about? And I did not like the dig that Nene took at her at one point about being pregnant.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do if you two get married and
you can't do that?
Yeah, very weird.
Nene just doesn't really feel like she has any alliances at this point. And I think just being the caregiver that she is for Greg, you know, maybe she just really feels alone, but she's also starting to isolate herself a lot more from everybody, except for Marlo, it seems. I mean, she was really letting loose on Marlo on the phone as they were getting ready for the reunion. And I was kind of like, whoa, Nene, save it. Like, save that for the stage. But she was kind of letting everything out about the way she feels about Cynthia and all of that.
But you also can't trust Nene and Marlo to stay friends because we've seen their friendship dissolve a couple of times throughout the history of Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Well, you just straight up can't trust Marlo.
Or Nene.
I mean, it's true. I don't know. It's tough because I think that she's looking for any excuse to get mad at everybody. And it's sort of like that's she's just redirecting her anger in the wrong way.
Well, you work in social media, so I want to ask your expert opinion.
Okay.
Andy asks Nene about this tweet she sent talking about a close friend setting her up for a kill.
Mm-hmm.
And she says it's not about Cynthia.
Right.
Who do you think it's about then?
I don't know. I mean, it could be about somebody we don't know that is like off camera, another one of Nene's friends. But I think Nene's smarter than that. And I think she's more strategic and I think she's shadier. So perhaps it wasn't about Cynthia, but it was about either someone on those couches or someone that will be arriving to those couches later on. Tanya, maybe it was Marlo. I don't know.
Mm.
It was really interesting, too, the way that she was sort of like, well, what I put on my social media is my social media, and that's how I share, like, what I want to share.
That Instagram that says Nene Leaks is mine. I don't have to tell you and nobody sitting up here anything about my Instagram. You're not going to control how I post. You don't need to settle anything when it comes to my Instagram. Mm. I'm going to do what I do on my page.
Mm.
And that's how it's going to stay that way.
And it's sort of like, well, no, this isn't your private diary that you like tuck under your, you know, into your nightstand every night after you write in it. That's out there in the universe. That's there for everyone to see. Even if you delete it, you know people are going to catch you with those screenshots. So as much as she was trying to argue like, oh, this is, I can say what I want, that's 100% true, but you're also going to be held accountable for what you say. And you should maybe explain yourself in those situations, like who you're talking about.
Yeah.
If you're going to make it public. Another moment I wanted to talk to you about was the connection that Andy and Candy, I've never said that, it rhymes. Mm-hmm. Andy and Candy had over surrogacy. I thought that was a really beautiful moment.
Oh, it was very sweet.
You never really see Candy cry. I mean, we see Candy get pretty emotional, you know, when she does like the Candy shaky voice when she's like really fired up.
Do it.
Okay, I can almost do it. It's like, you better not be talking to me like that. You know, it's like always like, I keep thinking of like when she was fighting with Kim Zolciak, was it 2 seasons ago or something? And she's like, do not come for me. And her voice is so shaky. But
you don't think that I should get some of that money?
Right, exactly. What Andy said to her was like so wise beyond his years, like as someone who was about to become a first-time father, and for Candy to not even know that that's what he was going through in his personal life, to give her that advice of like, don't ever think that that's not your baby. I was just like, oh my God, that's so intense.
I said, well, I guess I'm gonna have a baby mama. And you was like, don't you ever say that, because you are that baby's mother. And if you say that, then you are taking away from yourself. Ugh.
And I'm really glad that, you know, she sort of heeded that advice. And I hope that has helped her now. I don't know exactly where they are in the surrogacy journey, but I think it was a really great plug for what, you know, surrogacy is and how it can really help people.
Totally.
Another thing I did want to shout out that I appreciated, thanks to production and the editors, is that they showed a clip from our after show.
Right, the Real Housewives of Atlanta after show, which you can watch on BravoTV.com.
It's really awesome because it does have a ton of additional information and shade that like we didn't get to see on camera. People kind of recapping what happened in the episode. So I really appreciated that little shout out there.
Yes.
One thing I do love about this reunion is that Portia, to me, was like the shining star of this episode, only because she was just kind of having so much fun with it. And first she threw a bunch of shade at her mother-in-law, being like, we're getting along, you know, it's fine. Like, it's working out.
I was going to say find her voice, but she really needs to kind of just quiet her voice a little more in our relationship.
Wow.
But she is wonderful. I love her. She comes over. She takes care of me and Dennis. She's very opinionated. Yes. And that's her baby boy. That's her golden boy. So.
Then she yawned during Candy's montage that they showed as if she was just like totally uninterested or like bored with that. Or maybe she was just tired because she's pregnant. Yeah. I don't know. And then her twice forgetting Mike Hill's name.
I forget it too, though.
It's true. I always remember because of just the hashtag discovery Chill. That I made halfway through the season, realizing, you know, figuring out Cynthia's tagline. But Portia, to me, MVP of part one of the reunion, and that will probably change in the next couple of weeks.
Yes. Yeah. All right, Real Housewives of New York City. We are back in the Berkshires, back in the fish room.
Why does everyone hate the fish room?
I mean, I will say, you know, whether you love it or hate it, I think we can all agree $12,000 is too much to spend on a stuffed shark on the wall.
Is it?
That is on par with Eva's insanely expensive flip-flops.
That is true. Perhaps the shark is some kind of collector's item. You know, maybe it's... Is it actually taxidermied as well? Is that like... Was that a real shark or is that just like plastic?
Why else would it be $12,000?
I don't know.
But then again, presumably if you're just like catching the shark yourself, do you get a discount?
Right. I don't know. Well, I don't have a problem with the fish room. Dorinda, if you ever want me to come up and visit, I am happy to stay there. I understood... Luann's hesitation to be in that room because of her association with it last year, but I don't think it was an excuse.
Oh, I so call bullshit on that. I think that is such a flimsy excuse.
Yeah.
Because, come on, like, just the fact that you had a hangover there, let's be honest, all of these ladies have had hangovers many places in New York.
In that house.
And I don't even think it's just Luann. I couldn't believe how rude everyone was. That everyone was laughing about the shark room.
Why don't you go swordfish? Like,
I mean, the room is not some
It's like the mobsters. Right, they go, you're going down with the fishes.
Got some nerve putting me in the fish room.
Are you effing kidding me right now?
The fact that Bethany said, I'm only going to stay there if I can stay in this room. What? Who does that?
Right.
That's insane.
Yeah, everyone was really not on their best behavior, having their best manners, like, in that situation. And I wanted to talk to you about the way sort of Barbara showed up to the house. Because I, so far this season, have really enjoyed Barbara. But this episode in particular, something switched for me. And it was the way she entered the house. And immediately off the bat, she was just acting really weird.
Yeah, I think she was probably holding on to resentment over the fact that Dorinda kicked her out of her apartment. So she's like, you know what? I'm going to come guns blazing and just be totally rude about this room in a house I've never stayed in.
But obviously Dorinda, you know, was trying to perhaps extend an olive branch, be like, just come and stay at my house. Everyone's going to be there, including Luann. But, you know, the whole thing that Dorinda fought with her about previously was kind of this, like, you're drinking the Kool-Aid, like, you're getting hypnotized. I think Bethany even says it in this episode, you're getting hypnotized. So I'm starting to see more of that. Like, I think she's a little bit caught up in this, like, Countess Luann, the cabaret star, you know, newly sober. You know, I think she's caught up in it a little bit, and it kind of was really showing in this episode. So I just hope she kind of shifts her attitude a little bit for the rest of the trip.
Totally. What did you think about just Sonia this episode? This was a very Sonia centric episode, and I loved it.
I loved every second of it. Lady Morgan was giving me full Lady Macbeth vibes, like walking through that old house and just kind of talking to herself and like seeing all the things that were wrong and just kind of like being very like mysterious and confused. Like, I was like, oh my god. And it's interesting because you really can see that sort of old Sonia come out, because that's how she felt in her own house that was just like falling apart and she couldn't keep up with it. So all of a sudden she just spiraled, but it was like, really? And then freaking out at the dinner.
Oh, okay. So drunk Sonia is one of my favorite things in life. And it's like she went through all the stages of like a little bit tipsy, and then it's like, oh, the fun is coming out, and then her holding Coco and not letting go of this dog, which, by the way, I have a friend, Melissa, who in college, she had a cat, would always get wasted and like do the same thing with the cat, and we'd always be like, Melissa, put
just
the
like
cat
mold
down,
the cat however the she cat wanted. I felt so nervous in that moment because I feel like I could feel the energy in that room where you're just like, she is holding a living creature, like that creature might be in danger. The dog seemed fine. I mean, the dog was just like, whatever, you know, but like, oh, I just like, Luann was like, put it down.
No hurt in the dog. No hurt in the dog. Put the dog down.
Put the dog down.
Put the dog down.
Sonya, oh my God, put the dog down.
And then when she freaked out about the letters, I was so you curious.
Don't touch the letters.
You go in that house. You don't touch those f***ing letters. You don't touch the f***ing Morgan letters.
It's so crazy because I was wondering for so long, just from the super tease, like what the hell she was
what
talking
letters?
About. I was like, what letters, like on the wall? Like, I don't understand. Like, and so I get it. And I understand like her being sensitive to like, they can't just be out. They're like historical pieces of paper. They're getting your acid all over them or whatever. So I understand her freaking out, but that came out of nowhere. And poor Bethany, like, was not on that trip that day. So she has absolutely zero clue what Sonya is talking about.
Right. Well, no, the look, that's a great thing about like just the camera work and the editing is like, you don't touch the Morgan letters. And then it's just everyone's faces. And Bethany's like, what the just happened.
She was also yelling directly at Ramona, and Ramona was like not the one to touch the letters. I was just like, Ramona's just sitting there like, oh my God, what do I do? Like, holy shit. The other thing that I thought was interesting, and I don't know if we already knew this, but Bethany kind of spilled some tea in an interview moment where she said that Luann actually left rehab 2 weeks early to go and do a cabaret show.
As far as I'm concerned, Luann's supposed to still be in the rehab room that I acquired for her, that she was supposed to be there 2 more weeks in, that she left to do a cabaret.
I don't think we knew that. She seems to be doing really well. She's been around alcohol so far this season. She's, you know, maintained her sobriety and all of that. The other thing that I thought was quite distasteful is when they were talking about, I think it was Bethany's jeans.
Yeah.
And they started talking about how well the jeans fit people, even who aren't skinny, even though it's called Skinny Girl.
They weren't. Sonya was.
Right, exactly. And then Ramona decides to chime in with like, oh, the average girl is huge.
The average American is big. The average girl is huge.
I was like, oh my God, like insert, like open mouth, insert foot, Ramona. Like you, like so far this season, she's had some things that she has just said and you're like, you can't say those things. You can't say those things.
I have a grandmother who very much is like, just no filter, especially when it comes to weight. So like if someone walks in the house, she's like, oh, you put on 10 pounds. And like she doesn't even think that maybe that's a little bit offensive to
right,
someone.
Right.
I just imagine Ramona is probably that way too.
Absolutely. And just for her to just make such a blanket statement like,
oh, the average girl.
Like, where's the science on that, Ramona? Do you have research that shows the average girl? Like, just because the average girl is not a size 0 or 2, like, that doesn't make her huge.
Yeah. And I don't think huge is a word we want to use.
No. I also thought it was really funny, given like Sonya's perceived expertise on the gay community, why everyone was so confused that the bare naked chef was going to be hairy. Like that is, that's what in gay culture, bears are hairy, large men.
Oh, he's B-E-A-R naked?
Yeah.
I thought he was B-A-R-E naked.
No, see, now you're getting the education.
No, I know what a bear is. I just thought he was the bear naked chef. I didn't know he was the bear naked chef.
Yeah, I think they're leaning into that sort of, you know, subculture of the gay community or whatever. So everyone's like talking about his hairy ass and stuff. And I was like, well, of course. What did you expect?
He's a bear.
And look at him when he walked in before he was even like naked, you know? I mean, he's super hairy. So.
Yeah, but I do have to agree. I don't want anyone naked near my food.
Yeah, Bethany said it pretty well. She was like, just keep your balls out of my soup. You know? I mean, that can't be totally sanitary. Like, right. There's no way that, I mean, I don't know. But I wasn't as, like, shocked by it as perhaps I could have been. I've seen some things in my day.
Calm down.
Vanderpump Rules.
Mm-hmm.
What is a classic dick?
Mm.
It's a classic dick, by the way. It's a very nice...
classic dick.
Let's look at, like, the Statue of David, for example, because Ooh. That would be a... I mean, that's uncircumcised, you know? Like, not your sort of, like, traditionally, like, porn star-sized penis.
Right.
So that's a little bit what I'm assuming. Plus, like, Katie was like, oh, your penis is small, and then she, like, made a joke and was like, just kidding, and he's like, bubble. And so I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on.
I mean, there's only one way to find out.
I wanted to talk to you about Tom's romantic gesture. Was that romantic to you?
Yes.
You perceive that as a romantic thing?
I personally love nothing more than to get into a hotel room and eat a bunch of junk food. So yes, to me, that is romance. Now, the part that I don't find romantic is a woman jumping out of the bathroom playing the violin. First of all, I hate any sort of, like, activity where there's a musician looking at you. Like, Portia's...
Well, that's what I was going to bring up. I was going to be like, what is with these Bravo Lebs, like, having a third party present at their romantic moments? Like, it's very strange.
Also, the mariachi bands that come onto the subways in the morning... It just makes me uncomfortable.
Right.
I don't want you staring into my eyes while you play. I want right. there to be a good amount of distance between us.
Yeah. Yeah. And that poor woman had to stand in, like, the shower and right. he had to make that weird, like, feline call so that she knew to come out.
And I love how Katie was like, she, like, he's meowing as a hint to the woman. And Katie thinks he's meowing.
Katie's just, like, meowing back at him.
Meow. 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 Meow.
Now, they never actually clarified if they had sex that night. I'm assuming that after that they did, but, you know, who's to say?
Do you think it's romantic?
I did. I mean, I think it was romantic in the, like, in a very Tom and Katie sense, you know?
Right.
Like, that's exactly what she was looking for. And all Katie was looking for was one small romantic gesture from him just to be like, you know, like, I love you. I'm sorry I haven't been paying attention. Here's something. Here's some bubble tape and some potato chips and some champagne. Let's just hang out in bed.
Right.
I thought it was romantic.
Hang out in bed, but then he has to initiate sex. That's the
right,
deal.
Right. I feel like he did.
Okay.
Hope they moved the chips. I also did not know how to feel about Adam showing Lisa Vanderpump the picture that Sheena sent him.
Yeah.
That was weird.
I mean, it's not like it was a nude photo or anything, but still weird to be like, hey, Lisa, your employee sent me a sexy photo.
Right. And for obviously, like, I don't think Lisa's, like, totally probably clued into, like, Lara Croft and Tomb Raider. And, like, when Sheena was talking about taking that picture for Adam, I thought it was actually really cute because it wasn't overly sexy. Like, it was just enough. They were in, like, a jungle in Mexico.
It was so cheeky.
It was, yeah, it was literally. I mean, it was butt or butt was, like, right up in there. And, you know, I think she just was feeling in the moment. And for him to just not even answer her and then, like, show Lisa was just sort of, like, so strange. And then to have Lisa have to try to, like, you know, come in and say, well, don't break her heart. And she gets caught up in all of that. It's just, like, it's weird to put Lisa in the middle of all that.
I agree.
I also did not appreciate Sheena really putting Brittany and Jax on blast to Billy about how she was not invited to their engagement party.
I know.
I don't want you to be completely excluded from things like Jax and Brittany's engagement party. They don't want you there because you remind them of James.
Wait, they don't want me there
James.
Because I remind them of
I
James.
I shouldn't have said
that. That was just, like, really, like, uncalled for.
It's very meddlesome.
I don't also know how I am, like, feeling about Billy. Like, I'm trying to figure out. I know that she is feeling left out of a lot of things. And it's a struggle because I feel like being a trans person, like, it's an experience I can't relate to. And I think a lot of the cast members on the show have said sort of the same thing. So when she doesn't get included to all of these things and kind of, like, overreacts. Or, I mean, is she overreacting or is it just, like, that's how she feels and that's how she's supposed to feel?
I mean, I think separate from that is that she's maybe picked the wrong horse and she has now aligned herself with James, who has been nasty to everyone and So if they don't want to hang out with him, why would they want to, you know? Yeah. I think that she also just lost me when she went off on Lisa Vanderpump.
Like that was inappropriate.
That's not how you fix that problem.
That's not appropriate behavior.
No.
Also, I mean, fundamentally, I think Jax's point was just that we're not that close with Billy, you know? And we are paying $75 a head. If I were Brittany, I would have said that straight up to Billy. I would have been like, honestly, like, we have to make cuts somewhere, and we're spending a lot of money on this engagement party, and I'm sorry you can't come, but, like, it's just there's too many people ahead of you.
Well, and that's the thing. The rest of this group, they've known each other for years. Like, Lala, no, but they've become close to her. But everyone else, they've known each other forever.
Yeah. It's not, like, there are certain things where, depending on where you rank in a friend group, you sort of just have to accept your place, and it's nothing bigger or smaller than that. It's just, like, $75 a plate, like... You're not getting covered.
What did you think of this potty?
The potty. What did I think about the puppy potty?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I feel like people are always looking for an excuse to throw a party. Obviously, they are so in love with their new dog. I was not as like offended by the concept of the idea, I was not so offended by the concept of the party. I think Stassi said it pretty well. Like, I just wouldn't want to go to that. Like, I wouldn't want to attend something like that, especially if I don't have a dog.
I think also, like, maybe just to come meet our dog. They lost me at all of the dog-themed activities. Yeah. And food. Like, that, it was too much.
It was too much, because sometimes it's too much just going to a baby shower. Like, never mind having to go to a puppy shower.
Right.
You know, like, that's just, like, one step. Like, what do I have to do? Do I have to bring a gift? Like, what is the rule here?
Right.
I do feel bad for Raquel and James because they are trying, you know, and it just keeps not working out for them. And, you know, it's just kind of sad. I just feel bad. Also, James mispronouncing hors d'oeuvres.
Hors d'oeuvres. We even get to taste test the puppy hors d'oeuvres.
Hear that?
Wait, what did he say?
Hors d'oeuvres.
Oh, boy.
With a B.
Is that a British thing, though?
Is it a British thing, or was it trying to be like a play on the puppy potty? I don't know.
Boy.
Oh, I just don't know. What did you think about Tom Schwartz's check bouncing? Two checks bouncing.
Oof. If I was Lisa, I would be nervous.
Yeah. Well, to his, like, defense, I feel like he did write those checks, like, months ago or something, like they said. So maybe he had, like, sort of moved some money around in different accounts or whatever, because Lisa took a really long time to cash it. But when you just start a business venture with someone, it's not a good look.
Not a good look.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Well, next week he's got some James Bond situation going on where he's like handcuffed to a suitcase. So we'll have to see about that.
Well, speaking of Tom, we got a chance to talk to Schwartz. Funny enough, it was the day after he and Sandoval hosted an event in Atlantic City. So Tom was a little hungover.
He talked to us about Tom updates, the romantic gesture that he planned for Katie in Mexico that we talked about. And he even invited us to go to TomTom.
We're here with Tom Schwartz, who I'm not going to say is looking worse for wear, but sounds like he's had a crazy weekend.
Yeah, we got a little bit out of line, but overall, feeling very good. Very positive, great episode, and a big moment for me, pivotal moment and a monumental moment, really. Tom picks me up on a motorcycle with a sidecar. Yes, I'm the sidekick, in case anyone's wondering.
Side piece.
AKA Tom number two, yeah. But it was just such a special moment that I'm so grateful for.
Can you talk about your look? I think it was described as like James Bond in a Wes Anderson movie.
Ooh, who I love that description.
I think it was Ariana.
Yeah, that's Ariana.
I love that. That's apt. Beautifully stated. Yeah, I felt very debonair. Like, I felt like I was really coming into my own that night, you know? I feel like I really hit my stride. I felt, dare I say, sexy.
Ooh.
I don't often feel sexy, but I did. But not in an egotistic sort of way. Egotistical. Yeah, it was so magical, you know? I was afraid I was going to wake up and it had all been a dream, you know? So, yeah, I didn't want anybody to pinch me. I still don't want anybody to pinch me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to wake up.
Do you feel like a business owner?
I do. And it's like, oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, it's got panache, you know? It's so cool to say Lisa Vanderpump is my business partner. Right. Yeah. I'm not a good representative right now. I'm not a good ambassador for TomTom. I'm schlepping it big time. But, yeah, I'm super stoked. And I commissioned an artist to do a little mural, a TomTom mural. It's really cool. I'm proud of it.
So how's everything going with TomTom?
It's going friggin' fabulous. You know, off to a really good start. Hopefully, you know, we can maintain the momentum. But, like, it could not be a better start. We have the best staff. I mean, I love everything about it. Every time I go in there, I'm just like, oh, I'm gaga for the place, you know? I'm so proud to be a business owner in West Hollywood. And I mean, Santa Monica Boulevard, like, oh, it's so cool to me. You know, this is like all just a dream come true. Yeah.
And it seems like people from out of town, like it's a real destination.
Yeah.
Now.
We get people from all over the world. It's so cool. And I'm like, my favorite part about it is, wait, is this going to sound cliche? No, I'm just going to say it. I love connecting with people. I was going to say I'm a people person. That is, that was definitely on my resume back in the day. Yeah, but I love connecting with people, hearing their stories and just sitting down, making recommendations. It's like, I love it. You know, I was a little apprehensive about it in the beginning. I don't know if you guys remember after my wedding when she propositioned me about this. And I was like, nah, I'm good. I shut it down. the restaurant industry was like a trigger for me because I've been working my whole life to get out of the restaurant industry, you know. That wasn't the dream, but now that I'm a, you know, a partner, it's like a whole new level, you know. I unlocked a new achievement.
That's true.
Yeah. I want to take you guys all to dinner. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's all fly to LA and go to TomTom.
What's your favorite cocktail on the menu?
My favorite's the Matcha Bucha, and it's with gin. Sometimes I get it with vodka though, and it has lemon juice, ginger agave, and I get it with vodka. And then it has a little bit of ginger liqueur, and then it's topped with the kombucha. Ooh. Yeah.
Was that one of yours? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, me and Tom made up that one.
Yeah.
Originally, it was going to have CBD in it, but West Hollywood put the smack down. They put the kibosh on CBD cocktails.
Really?
Do they have CBD cocktails? And there's CBD everything now. There's CBD hummus.
Well, yeah. I do want to talk about the Mexico trip.
I'm going to go on the record and say it was my favorite trip of all time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a beautiful disaster. yeah.
Well, I was going to say it starts off a little rocky with you and Katie. Yeah. Did you see that coming?
No, completely blindsided, boy. And they're like, me and Katie have been so good. And like our conflict resolution skills are on the next level. We're so healthy now and balanced. But like, yeah, I don't know what to say about it. It just escalated so fast.
Was it the first class upgrade?
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. If it was, I would never do this. By the way, you know, but it was like a group trip. It was like 20% of the plane was us, and they were all drinking at the bar. I went on the plane early and boarded and just randomly got upgraded. And yeah, Katie was just not feeling, she was not in a good mood that day. And yeah, I guess that was that sort of just was like a trigger. And then it all went downhill from there. So it was a horrible way to start the trip. Oh, it was tense. I hadn't felt tension like that with Katie in many years. All right, maybe not many years.
many months.
But yeah, so yes, it started off horribly. Oh, I'm getting anxious just thinking about it. But then, like, it took a turn for the better. And we hashed it out. And like fights like that used to last like they like we would be like resentful of each other for like weeks, but now we squash it so fast. And I'm happy to say I've never been more in love. Oh, I'm getting sentimental.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah, but Mexico is so fun. Have you guys been to Puerto Vallarta? Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Am I being boring?
No. But I did want to ask because fighting, I feel like sometimes is contagious. And Stassi and Bo caught the bug.
I know. I don't like to see anybody fight. I know it's entertaining. And that you got to give the people what they want. But like, I know. I just... You know me. I'm always trying to be diplomatic and, you know, resolve things as fast as possible, which can be kind of boring. There could only be one Tom Schwartz, I think. If everybody was trying to do that and be chill all the time, it'd be Snoozeville, right?
We wouldn't have a show.
Yeah.
What happens with Stassi and Bo? What triggers their fight?
I honestly, I don't remember, if I'm being frank. I don't remember what the trigger was, but... We joke around. She's like a gremlin, you know. After midnight, sometimes her dark passenger comes out, and it is terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. She only really shows her dark passenger within the confines of her relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's some kind of admirable, but yeah, it's scary. Oh, man. But I think she's got it under control now, you know. She's learned to harness her powers. And, anyways.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I feel like you've always sort of been known as maybe the most lovable.
Come on.
Of
stop.
The cast.
You guys are buttering me up.
But Bo is giving you a run for your money.
Like, Bo is so much more charming than me. And he's so funny and just a great citizen of the world, you know? He's lived all over. He has such an interesting story. And I love him. And I've never seen Stassi happier. So it makes me happy to see her happy. And I love Bo. Bo, I love you.
He does listen every week, so it's great to hear you say that. You guys have the reunion coming up.
Yeah, you guys. I'm so scared. I'm so scared. It's the scariest day of the year.
Scared of what?
Oh, the reunion's scary. We have to rehash everything in this like little condensed half circle. And you can just feel it's palpable. And, oh, God, don't make me do it.
I feel like you don't really have reason to be nervous, but maybe James does.
Yeah, I mean, I just know it's going to get ugly. I think it's going to be great. I think the audience will love it, but I just know. I can feel it in my bones. It's going to be ugly, yeah.
Do you think it's going to be between, James and Jax, or who is
that's,
it going to get
ugly? I mean, that's,
between?
Yeah, that's tradition.
Right.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Are we placing bets on who's going to cry first?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Let's do that.
What do you think? I feel like I'm going to cry. I don't know why. Happy tears. Reminiscing about the launch of Tom Tom and stuff.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of happy tears lately. I love a good cry every now and then. You guys want to have a good cry later?
Let's have a good cry.
Okay, let's do it. It's cathartic. I like it. But yeah. Yeah. Reunion. Not good. Este no bueno. I'm horrified. And I'm just pretending it's not going to happen. I'll deal with it when I get there.
Are you and Sandoval going to do matching outfits for reunion?
We've talked about this.
Really?
Yeah. I love it. He styled me for the big opening night. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he made some serious upgrades to the sidecar. Oh, my God. He's obsessive about that thing, by the way. He's invested so much time, energy, and money. He's so passionate about the sidecar.
Have you talked to him about the sidecar?
No,
no, we didn't. Actually, we should have.
It's like,
we didn't know.
I'm scared it's going to be in my coffin. And he's a great driver, but like, you know, everyone's texting now, doing their makeup, reading their scripts in West Hollywood. No one's paying attention.
Right. He even got Lisa Vanderpump in that sidecar.
Yeah, I know. Oh, my God. She looks so cute.
She did.
She looks so cute.
I don't think I've ever seen her in a helmet. Well, I guess she's worn a helmet when she's ridden horses, but still, when she put that on, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah. I mean, she's this larger-than-life character. She's like our queen, but like physically, she's like petite, you know? She's so small. I love her. Yeah. So much love for Lisa, though. She's been a great mentor, and I've learned a lot from her. And, it's cool.
Have you been to Tom and Ariana's new house yet?
I have. It's so fresh. I'm like, oh my God, this is adulting on a new level. It's so beautiful, and I'm so happy for them. Like, Tom's lived in his tiny little apartment, and it is tiny because I live there, trust me, for like 15 years. We're going to have a going away party. Maybe put the sheet back up. You guys remember the sheet wall?
Jack's yes. Used to,
I miss the sheet wall and my air mattress. Those were simpler times.
I miss the couch.
Oh, my God.
Jax and Kristen had sex on.
I think we burned that. Yeah. We performed an exorcism on it. Yeah. Yeah. If that couch could talk.
Oh, my God. I don't want to know what it would say.
I've passed out on that couch many times. Oh, God. Yeah. But I miss it there. I'm so sentimental when I go back there. Slightly claustrophobic, right. But sentimental for sure. Yeah, so many good times. I still can't believe I met Tom on Craigslist. Just like the whim of it all. It's unbelievable. And now we opened a bar together and we're on a TV show. That doesn't happen, does it? Does it? It's happening. It's very bizarre. Yeah, it's a trip. It's been a fantastic voyage so far. And
you're feeling so nostalgic today. I am.
I am. It's really special. I'm so, so grateful.
Well, given the success of TomTom, like, what do you think comes next?
I mean, there's been talks about expanding. Well, first of all, we got the place next door, so we are expanding.
Ooh.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. And it's beautiful. We're almost going to double our space. And, yeah, it's going to be so cool. And it is so cool. It's a great vibe. I want to give a shout out to just the management. I mean, Richardson and Max, and like, we have the best employees ever. I love them, and they're killing it every night, pouring their hearts out in there. And it makes a huge difference. It really does. We get so many compliments on our staff, and it warms my heart. Yeah.
I didn't know Richardson worked there.
Yeah.
I really like him just because his stint on the show, yeah. He was telling Lisa that he's like, and James Kennedy said, "Fuck you, you're nothing.
Yeah.
I'm James Kennedy."
Yeah. I think that's his mantra, isn't it? Richardson's like such a chill dude, and like I know he's wanted to kill him a few times. So I think at one point everyone's wanted to kill James.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say that.
Yeah.
He would admit that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, Richardson's great. He's a stud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else, guys?
I don't know. You tell us.
You tell me.
Yeah. I mean, tell everyone listening why they should watch the rest of the season. What's happened?
It's juicy and dynamic, and there's so much good stuff to come. A lot of action. And, yeah, it's such a good season, I think. Every season's been good. Yes?
Yeah.
Of course, my favorite will be the wedding. You know, that was like the most magical moment in my whole life. And I still, like, on a weekly basis, go back and look at my wedding photos and stuff.
Oh, my God. That's so nice.
Know,
God.
I love it so much. Oh, it was so perfect. And I'm so, so, so excited for Jackson Brittany's wedding. I'm, like, hyped. Yeah, it's going to be so beautiful. Getting married in a castle.
I know.
So cool.
So exciting.
Fairy tale alert.
Would you ever consider doing, like, a vow renewal? Have you talked about that?
Yeah. Well... Funny you mentioned that. So I don't want to give it away, but I sort of did something. I had that plan. I had plans to do that in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I sort of did like a bootleg version of that. Maybe I drank a little too much, self-sabotaged, but you'll see. It's pretty good. It was sweet. I'm proud of it. I just remembered that. I'm so excited for you guys. Have you guys seen it?
No, not yet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so excited for you to see it. Oh. You got to let me know what you think. You got to text me later.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I did pretty good. I don't want to spoil it. I want to tell you guys, but I don't want to spoil it.
All right. Yeah, don't spoil it.
It was romantic. Yeah. It was cute.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe more cute than romantic.
Okay.
Yeah. I tried to be sexy. I'm not always great at that. Yeah.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah. It's really good. It's a great episode. I'm stoked about it. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming by.
You guys, it's always
a
pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
Sorry if I was not as charming as I usually am.
You're always charming.
I'm all right.
Oh, stop.
I'm all right. Love you guys. Thanks for having
me.
All right, cool.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
Time for Rose and Thorn.
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Eric, what was your rose?
My rose was from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and it was Denise Richards installing cameras in her house so she can spy on her daughter. But my real rose part of it is that it immediately made me think of Nicole Richie and, like, the Simple Life days when she would talk about how she used to sneak out all the time from her house with, like, cameras and security guards and everything. So, Denise, keep your eyes on that girl because she will find a way to sneak out of that house.
Did you ever sneak out?
I don't think I did. I think I used to just, like, blow off curfew. I would come back late, but I was never really, like, not allowed to, like, go out and then had to sneak. Yeah. I'm sure I did once in a while, but I usually just ignored curfew, and that was not cool.
Right.
What is your rose?
So my rose, I want to put this out there that my rose, I do think it's mean-spirited, but my rose is that we get season one Camille back in this episode where she is really just going in. But I couldn't believe that the person she was going in on was Lisa Vanderpump. Mm-hmm. The comment she made about Lisa's caps.
I had such an issue with the gums. I was like, honey, you need new caps. Your gum line is receding. And I'm done.
I couldn't believe that.
That was cruel.
So mean. So I like that we're getting old Camille back. I just don't like that it was about Vanderpump, who's really been a good friend to her.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
What was your thorn?
My thorn was also from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and it was the almost disastrous misinterpretation of Lisa Rinna's gesture to Lisa Vanderpump about, like, her birthday and sending those cupcakes with the pills on them.
Oh.
Because I love that Rinna is, like, still having a sense of humor. And the two of them have never quite gotten along the way I would love them to. But I also love that they don't totally get along. But knowing that, like, Rinna had nothing but good intentions with that, it was like the bunny all over again, you know? And then sending it and just being like, I'm just having a nice, doing a nice thing. It's her birthday. And then not even really clicking that, oh my God, that could be interpreted in such a wrong way. So I'm glad that Lisa, you know, mentioned it to Rinna just as, like, here's a heads up, but was also grateful for the gesture overall. But that could have been really bad.
Yeah.
What was your thorn?
Vanderpump Rules, Raquel not knowing who Charles Manson is.
Oh my God, yeah.
How?
I don't know.
How?
Okay, who's Charles Manson?
Huh?
She is very young.
No, Eric. That excuse doesn't fly because he's literally so ingrained in pop culture. There's no way. It doesn't matter how old you are that you don't know. It's like saying, what? Of course she doesn't know who the Rolling Stones are. Like, right. No, you know.
Yeah. Do you know what's really funny about that is that when I was younger, there was this kid in my neighborhood. And I forget what it was, like Roland, his name or something, which reminds me of Schitt's Creek. And he came over to my house once, and he was always, like, weird. And we used to, like, play in the backyard. And the very last time we ever hung out, because my parents would never let him come back, he goes, like, climbs into a tree and he goes, Eric, let's play Charles Manson. And I was like, what? And then my parents were like, Roland, you need to go home. Like, that's enough of that. And I was just like, what? And then as I got older and, like, figured out what he...
What?
I was like...
How did Roland know about that?
I'm telling you, he was a strange kid.
George, do you think he heard his parents saying that in the bedroom?
I sure hope not. I think maybe he was just a weird kid. He maybe saw something on the news and just, like... I don't know, but I did not want to play Charles Manson, and my parents did not want me to play Charles Manson either. So, thankfully, I am safe. But, yes, sorry, Raquel. You got to do some pop culture, true crime research and get ahead of that. Well, next week, we're going to be talking with Hannah Berner from Summer House, who's super funny, so I'm really excited for that interview. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss me one more time.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
Be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot. And someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.